The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio.
Coming up on the program today, we're going to go over some expected disappointments in your garden, as well as gardening accessibility for all. Our guest is author Stephanie Rose, and we'll answer your garden questions. The hour is full, so join us. It starts right now.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
And welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Happy that you've joined us today on the program. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. Happy you're tuned in. If you're listening to one of the 18 AM and FM frequencies broadcasting our program here in 2022, through our parent website, which is TheWisconsinVegetableGardener.com, underneath the Season 6 tab at the top of the page, in-studio video replay, podcast replay, however you're doing it, thank you. If you want to be part of the program, you're welcome to do such. We encourage participation. Two avenues in which you can participate in that: GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com. Send us an email, GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to talk to us, you can certainly give us a call on the Proclamation Hotline, brought to you by Proclamation Goods. That number, 1-800-927-SHOW. Again, toll-free, coast-to-coast, 1-800-927-7469.
Proclamation Goods creates cookware for the eco-conscious home chef. Their pans are non-toxic, have a lifetime warranty, and are made in Wisconsin. Their award-winning stainless steel Proclamation Duo cookware set is a 12-inch skillet and a stockpot that doubles as a wok. Best of all, the skillet and stockpot hinge together to form a Dutch oven. It's two pans with the versatility of 10, empowering you to cook more with less. If you care about your health and strive for a more sustainable lifestyle, then Proclamation Goods is for you. Supply is limited, so order yours now at ProclamationGoods.com.
ProclamationGoods.com. Now, Holly, I'm going to ask, I don't want to come off as a sexist question, but you've used the pans more frequently than I have, and they work just as well for you as they have for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you're saying. Like, they work just fine.
Yeah, compared to other pans, these are more superior because they do better.
I like how they distribute the heat evenly, which is nice.
They don't warp either.
No, they don't warp either. And we had another fry pan.
It has been disposed of.
It has been disposed of. But it seemed like it just got hot in one area.
And then it rocked, and then warped, and the whole deal. Yeah. The Proclamation cookware, the last pan set you're ever going to purchase. Well, Holly, there's with all things in life, there are disappointments. Some are expected, some are surprises. Gardening is no different. We're going to go over several expected disappointments that one may find themselves as they journey through their garden this year. Now, some of you may not fall in any of these categories, and good for you, you get a star. Grandpa says it's hard to get stars, so if you didn't fall in any of these, you're going to get a star. Imaginary, pretend star, we've sent it to you. So we're going to go over four things here, Holly.
Right. So the first one is things eating your plants. So when I put this down for the topic, this can be anything from a fluffy non-welcome friend to your garden, to an insect, to maybe even possibly a bird.
Right.
So there's different things that could be eating your plants. So, for example, we have some issues with green beans.
Right. We think it's cutworms. Potentially, we've never seen exactly what's eating them. We know it's not rabbits. You can use Deer Defeat. Coupon code radio, save 10% on your order. It will deter rabbits, groundhogs, and deers. Soft-bodied insects, you can get your free sample at drzymes.com/garden talk. Take care of that problem. So the green beans are an issue. And if you have issues with other animals, there are deterrents, as we just spoke about, that can keep them away. Sometimes you never know what's eating it. Sometimes it's just best not to know.
Right. So, yeah, sometimes you don't know.
And,
but,
and if you replant, it's good to replant.
Right. It is good to replant. So a lot of times something might be eating your plants at an early stage after they've sprouted for a couple weeks. You can certainly replant at that point.
And let's go to another one. We'll probably touch back on the eating the plants momentarily. Drought and watering issues.
Right. So drought watering issues, this could be anything from you are in a drought situation. We are, many of us, wherever we live, may be low on rainfall. And so maybe you haven't invested in an irrigation system and you rely on yourself watering your plants. And maybe you just haven't done it consistently and that happens. And then now you have problems or lack of growth because of that.
Well, you've got Dripworks and you've got Tree Diaper that you can use to water your garden with. Yeah, Holly, many places are dealing with severe drought. And in order to help reduce the amount of evaporation, one can use mulch. And there's good mulches and bad mulches. Straw, shredded leaves, shredded paper, in some perennial beds, wood chips. Grass clippings are good if you are using clean grass clippings, meaning there's no seed heads or they haven't been sprayed with a weed and feed that will toxify your garden soil.
Right. So, yeah, you can use mulch to help suppress the weeds a bit, which is our next topic, but also help keep that moisture in. So, weeds. And this seems to be a problem. A lot of people... most everybody deals with, obviously.
Some more severe than others.
It seems to be right around this time that you start to notice that the weeds are kind of taking over. And there's some things you can do. One is obviously you can pull them. But two, you could possibly, you know, like we had said, mulch to help maybe suppress some of the weeds. Or you could work on... doing something where you put like landscape cloth or fabric and help suppress the weeds that way.
You can use a natural weed killer. Naturalgreenproducts.com has that. Use coupon code WEEDS, WEEDS, and buy 3 1-gallon horticultural grade weed killer and get 1 gallon free. You can pull the weeds. The story is always get them while they're early. Not when they're tall and you can't see your vegetables. When you pull your weeds, you can do a couple of things with them. You can toss them across the fence over to your neighbors. you can put them in the compost bin, or you can actually pull them if they're not what is considered an invasive weed, like we would consider creeping Charlie an invasive. You can pull it up and lay it back down on the soil as a mulch. Use the weeds as a mulch to reduce soil and soil surface and the reduction of moisture that's evaporating out of your garden, whether you have an irrigation system or not.
Right. So, yes, you can do those things for the weeds.
And with things eating your plants, drought, watering issues, weeds, comes to the fourth portion of this expected disappointment category, which is poor harvest. Now, disclaimer, just because you have things eating your plants or you have watering issues and or you have weeds does not guarantee you to have a bad harvest.
Right. And that's the thing is that you don't – just because you have these issues does not guarantee a poor harvest, especially a lot of these plants are kind of resilient to things like weeds and also at times even drought. You know, you may have some diseases that come upon them, but a lot of times they kind of survive on their own.
Yeah, obviously the weeds are more aggressive and they're going to overtake your garden. However, in some instances, and let's play the hypothetical game, because let's just say you've got a raised bed and it's full of a ground cover that's a weed, Creeping Charlie. Hard to get rid of it. Creeping Charlie is only going to vertically grow so much. So if you leave it alone, yes, it's pulling nutrients from the soil away from your tomatoes that may be in that bed. But in the long run, it's really acting as a living mulch. Some people spend a lot of money buying seed or plant vegetation to create a living mulch mm-hmm. on their ornamental areas, the thyme or isn't it thyme, one of the herbs that grows. I've lost the thought of that. But it's a ground cover. In this instance, it's a weed. However, now, Creeping Charlie is part of the mint family, and there are individuals who actually have Creeping Charlie inside living as an ornamental plant in their home.
Right. And that's just absurd to me.
Uh-huh.
Because it is invasive, and it does just kind of
take over. It has pretty little purple flowers.
Yeah, it takes over a ground cover.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, you know, we've had different authors and such on this program that say, what's the real harm? You know, what's the real harm of Creeping Charlie taking over your yard?
Two rules of thought there. One, it would choke out what you're trying to grow, or, like we just spoke about, it can actually grow in harmony with what you're trying to grow and creating a living mulch or right. a living ground cover.
Right, but I'm saying, like, aside from in your garden,
uh-huh. okay.
you know, people have it on their grass and
right.
they try to get rid of it and they get frustrated and blah, blah, blah. What's wrong? I feel like as a society, we romanticize this perfect lawn.
Well, we spend millions of dollars and tens of thousands of gallons of chemicals to get our lawn to look green.
Right. So
maybe you
just say, I'm fine with how my lawn is and I have some Creeping Charlie and I have some crabgrass and I have this and that and go about the rest of your day.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Back on the farm, if the grass didn't grow in an area, that just meant we didn't have to mow it.
Right. Exactly.
We didn't have, you know, it wasn't, oh, it's Saturday afternoon. That means we get to spend 4 hours mowing grass and detailing. No, the less that was there, the less we had to mow and we could do other things that was more important.
Right. And I know people think, you know, for my kids, I want to have a nice lawn. And I mean, my niece and nephew tore up their lawn and tried to dig to China. So,
yeah, it was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, more power to them. I'm glad that they are creative little
souls.
Well,
their parents was like, they don't care.
Well, it's not that they don't care. They're letting kids be kids.
I know.
That's the difference. Yeah. So maybe you say, my kids are having fun making memories, and I'll deal with my lawn later.
Well, you know what you can't deal with later is Walton's Incorporated, Holly.
Absolutely. So Walton's is brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from. You can preserve your fruits, vegetables, but what about the meat? At Walton's, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created MeatJustSticks.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. Walton's has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, and more to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's everything but the meat. You can use code GROW50 to save 10% off of orders of $50 or more and get free shipping.
Well, when we come back, accessibility for gardeners, no matter what size you are. You're listening to the Garden with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Japanese beetles show up in summer for a feeding frenzy in your garden, and they are the worst party guest, feeding on leaves, then laying eggs in your lawn for next year. Japanese beetles can decimate your plants and trees. Protect your plants with Japanese beetle traps from Rescue. New this year, Rescue has refill lures to use the same trap again the next year. Made in the USA by the makers of the popular Rescue Fly and Yellow Jacket traps. Learn more at rescue.com. That's RESCUE.com. Take the guesswork out of composting with Hot Bin Composting. Quickly break down food scraps within 30 to 90 days. Find out more at hotbincomposting.com. Get $25 off your favorite Hot Bin model through August 15th. That's Hot Bin 26-gallon mini or the Hot Bin 52-gallon MK2. Use coupon code Joey22 at checkout to take $25 off your order at hotbincomposting-usa.com. Do you have nuts or fruit in your yard? A Nut Wizard is a handy, effective tool that will pick up round or oval tree produce
quickly and easily, leaving debris behind for a clean harvest. A NutWizard tool saves your back and your time. Visit NutWizard.com for more information. Hey, gardeners, it's that time of growing season, so let's start canning. Head over to Fleet Farm for all of your canning supplies and jam mixes. In one easy stop, find everything you need, like jars, lids, canners, strainers, racks, spatulas, and funnels from top brands like Ball and Kerr. Plus, pick up mixes, sugar, and more. When it comes to canning, get everything you need at your canning headquarters, Fleet Farm.
Protect your plants from damage with the 3-in-1 Plant Guard and Special Blend Fertilizer. Visit ivyorganics.com. Use promo code RADIO10 to save 10% off your order.
Thanks for listening to the Gardening with Joe and Holly radio show. As you've heard through the program, many companies offering coupon codes to help you save on great products. If you've missed any of those coupon codes, you can go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and click on the Money tab at the top of the page, and they're all listed for you. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Pro Plugger, Chip Drop, Bell Buster, Johnny Appleseed, Ivy Organic, Milkweed Balm, Walton's Incorporated, Bloomin' Easy Plants, Jung Seeds. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Tree Diaper. We talked about watering situations earlier. Tree Diaper takes all the work out of it for you.
Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water, and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. No more overwatering or underwatering with the Tree Diaper. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees, whether you're down by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants, made in the USA. You can find all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
Don't wait until your plants are dead to get the Tree Diaper. If you are interested in how it operates, go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. Search engine at the upper right corner and type in Tree Diaper, and you will see several videos in which we've done. It works better than what we describe. That's just really the reality of it, Holly.
Right. So July is Disability Pride Month, which is celebrating. It came about after the American Disabilities Act was passed in July of 1990, and this is to prohibit discrimination against people with disabilities. And so in light of that, we want to talk about gardening for all abilities.
Okay.
For all people. So if you are a fit and able-bodied person, you may not struggle with anything in regards to gardening or any sort of physical movement, but many people, especially either as we get older or just because of how our bodies are, we may have to work on ourselves work on ways to find systems or tools or whatever to make gardening enjoyable for us and within our physical abilities.
So the desire is there, but the, what would you classify it, the mobility may not be there?
Yeah, mobility or just not
capability.
Capability, okay. Whatever. We're going to focus on not the less, but the more.
Okay.
So, for example, there's a lot of accessibility tools that you can get, whether there be ergonomic shaped tools, longer tools if you're shorter. I know, Joe, you have this mindset, a short person wants a short tool. No, a short person wants a longer tool because we're short and we need that extra reach.
Okay.
So that's absolutely.
But incorrect. You look so nice with a little short shovel. You're only what, 5 foot?
I'm 5'1".
5'1" and a quarter, yeah. And 3/8 of an inch or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one thing, is thinking about how can I make this work for me? And that's something like ergonomic tools.
And that will work for those who don't have the challenges as well. That's what these companies have worked towards.
Right.
For both.
Yeah.
For all people. Yeah.
One to basically protect your back or whatever in an ergonomic way, but also if you do need the additional help.
Okay.
Another thing is there's different stools. There's like kneeling stools, kneeling pads. There's things on wheels, mm-hmm. for weeding. There's all sorts of, things you can look up to purchase to help whatever you need, whether it be a nice sturdy multi-use kneeling stool or something on wheels or just
Just a bucket.
A regular bucket. There's been times where I've sat on a 5-gallon bucket. I have a hiking stool.
There is such a thing, folks.
It's a hiking category.
Yeah.
And because I like to hike, but sometimes, you know, you need to take a little break. And so you bust out your hiking stool.
And you sit on the trail.
You take a seat for a few minutes or whatever you need. Or you just want to have some water or a snack or whatever. It's literally, like, not marketed as a hiking stool. It's just a small, lightweight stool that is portable and I can put it on my backpack.
But it would work in the garden. However, if you're in soft soil, it may not have the foundation. The legs may go through the soft soil and you...
So maybe like a 5-gallon bucket would be a better...
Something that has a larger foundation on it that has more surface area so it doesn't sink in.
Right.
Yeah.
So then also another thing is you want to be aware of yourself, right? So maybe you want to take more breaks, spend more time in the shade, make sure you're drinking plenty of water, make sure you know, you have snacks, whatever. There's many people who get low blood sugar or... whatever occurs. So making sure that you are taking care of yourself and being aware. And if the heat does affect you, then don't garden during the hottest parts of the day between about 1 and 3 p.m.
It's okay to leave some weeds. There's an old saying in Europe, one of the allotment gardeners says it, do a little, but do it often.
Right. And that's another thing is that, do a little, do it often. And, you know, be mindful. Maybe you're a morning person. You can go out in the garden in the morning before that sun starts to heat up the day.
For most of our gardens, it's similar to on a farm. You're never going to get everything done that you need done. You want to prioritize and figure out what has to get done. Once those have to's get done, then you can go, well, what needs to get done?
Right. Definitely. Another thing is you want to consider stretching. Stretching helps all of us. It doesn't matter what your abilities are. It just helps keep your joints and your body feeling nice and loose and good. So,
what kind of stretches would you recommend?
Like forward folds. You can do any combination of what's called a cat-cow. And a lot of these you can do seated. So if you want to, you know, you can find on YouTube seated stretches, things like that. If maybe doing standing stretches feels a little bit too much for you, you can do, you know, kind of do some arm stretches, leg stretches. You can look up stretches for gardeners, seated stretches for gardeners, things like that, and you can find all sorts of videos.
And again, the point of stretching before you would go and do these activities is what is the main purpose of such a thing?
Well, when you stretch, it helps warm up your muscles.
Okay.
But also after, then it helps, it's kind of like a cool down. I'm not a fitness professional by any means.
Doesn't it also help with blood flow and also that would help with thinking coherently or thinking more clearer?
Yeah, it can help with blood flow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, for example, you know, working a desk job, if I get up and stretch, it definitely, like, kind of refreshes me. Mm-hmm. So,
and then you dread going back.
So another thing is that you can grow what you can and then use other resources like farmers markets. So, for example, maybe you want to grow in some containers, but you don't have a lot of help and those containers could be heavy, so you just kind of keep them one place and grow a few tomatoes and what you really enjoy, then you can get the rest of your seasonal produce from farmers markets. And that's another way to get that if you can't, if you don't feel that you can successfully grow on your own.
How can one find a local farmers market in their particular area?
You can just go to your favorite search engine and type in farmers market and your zip code. Otherwise, you can call your local city hall or town hall, whatever, and they can direct you, or county. Yeah.
And for larger municipalities, if you're new to the farmer market environment, small towns will have like one once a week or once every other week. Larger municipalities, cities will have multiple ones, particularly maybe some day. A day they'll have two or three, or throughout the week they might have like different areas of that city. They'll have a different one every day.
Right. Yeah. So there's that option as well.
And they're not sponsored here, but there are door delivery produce companies that you can order for a fraction of what you would buy at the grocery store. And there's a certain amount you have to order in order to get free shipping. However, the produce is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Sometimes better than what you would get in the store.
Right. And there are different companies for that, definitely. So, yeah. And then ask for help in exchange of, you know, maybe a home-cooked meal or something. If you have a friend that can help you with, maybe you need something moved around, like some 5-gallon buckets or containers, or maybe you need help with weeding, or maybe you just need help getting the supplies for your garden because they might be too heavy or not able for you to move, maneuver around. Say, hey, you know, can you help me? I'm going to go buy these things at the store. Can you help me get them set up? And then, you know, once I have this delicious produce, I will cook you or make you a salad or whatever, or share the produce with you.
And if you're on the receiving end of that, just be nice, offer them the help, and don't expect something in return.
Right.
Just pass it on.
Right. But I think that if you are asking to help, it's nice to offer something in return.
Well, yes.
Maybe you have a crafty, you know, you're crafty and you want to make them a little craft or draw them a pretty flower picture for their fridge, whatever.
But what I'm saying is if we help somebody, we shouldn't automatically think, well, if I help them, I'm going to get something in return.
No, not at all.
But that's the way some people think.
Right.
And that's not right.
But most people I know, when they ask for help, they do offer some sort of
compensation,
yeah. But not necessarily monetary, but just something that like, hey, I can do this. I mean, I have friends who will offer, you know, like I said, artsy stuff, crafty mm-hmm. stuff, whatever.
Well, something that you can probably have to take care of yourself first, and then you can work in your neighbor's yard, is those pesky Japanese beetles that are flying around. It's summer, my friends, and they are wreaking havoc on not only your garden, but everybody's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, if you're looking to successfully control beetles without damaging the environment, look no further than Beetle Gone from Phylum Bioproducts. Derived from a naturally occurring bacteria, Beetle Gone is the only organic solution that successfully controls beetle invaders. Just mix the powder with water and spray on your plants. Once ingested, the targeted pests will stop feeding and dying. Since it's an organic BT product, you know it's a great choice to use on your fruits and veggies, in addition to your ornaments. Ornamental flowers and trees.
Not only does Beetle Gone work, the best part about the product is it is safe to use around beneficial insects such as ladybugs, butterflies, and bees, and has zero water toxicity on your property and the environment. Beetle Gone from Phylum Bioproducts. Find out more at BeetleGone.com. BeetleGone.com. And when you purchase at BeetleGone.com, use coupon code GARDENTALK10 at checkout to save 10% on your order at BeetleGone.com. Hang out with us. When we come back, author Stephanie Rose will be with us. You're listening to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now, 1-800-927-SHOW.
This week's garden tip is sponsored by the amazing Dr. Zymes. Eliminate and prevent garden pests with their 100% all-natural, all-in-one insecticide and fungicide. Experience powerful natural protection from insects, fungus, mold, and mildew. Try a free sample. Visit drzymes.com/gardentalk. The amazing Dr. Zymes is non-toxic, which means you do not need special clothing when using or handling it. No need for long sleeves, respirators, special gloves, or even a whole hazmat suit. You can safely apply it without concern for what may happen to you or your skin or your plants. And it's highly concentrated, so a little goes a long way. Eliminate mites, thrips, aphids, and fungal gnats. Dr. Zymes is OMRI listed, safe up to the day of harvest, and doesn't leave a residue. Safe for you and your plants. That helpful garden tip was sponsored by the amazing Dr. Zymes. Eliminate and prevent garden pests with their 100% all-natural, all-in-one insecticide and fungicide. Experience powerful natural protection from insects, fungus, mold, and mildew. Try a free sample. Visit drzymes.com/gardentalk.
Zheng Seed Company is a family-owned and operated gardening company since 1907 with the largest selection of seeds and plants online. Use code 10TG22 to receive 10% off your order at zhengseed.com. That code again is 10 BTG22.
Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you. ShipDrop is a website you can sign up for free wood chip mulch delivery right to your door for free. ShipDrop connects homeowners and gardeners with tree services who are trying to get rid of their wood chips. You can also sign up to get free logs and firewood. Go to ShipDrop.com to learn more and sign up for a free account. 90% of the world's flowering plants require pollination to reproduce. Without pollinators, we humans would not survive. Here at Finding Nectar, a Denver suburb-based nursery providing flowering plants that are bee, butterfly, moth, and bat-friendly, we are striving to get more pollinators into the backyards of Colorado. Together, we can increase the pollinating population one plant at a time. Affordable plants, check all the plants out at 1550 Highway 72 in Arvada and at findingnectar.com.
A non-selective herbicide that is also USDA certified? You bet. No More Weeds by Naturally Green Products. The same great company that brings you No More Bugs, No More Weeds. Kills weeds with no harsh chemicals, no glyphosate. No More Weeds is a commercial-grade vinegar base with a proprietary sticking agent. Great around pools, decks, patios, etc. Visit natgreenproducts.com, enter promo code WEEDS, W-E-E-D-S, and buy 3 1-gallon size units, get the fourth one free.
Thanks for listening to the Garden with Joe and Holly radio show. As you've heard through the program, many companies offering coupon codes to help you save on great products. If you've missed any of those coupon codes, you can go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and click on the Money tab at the top of the page, and they're all listed for you. The Garden with Joe and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Rootmaker, Dripworks, Pomona Universal Pectin, Phylum Bioproducts, Tree Diaper, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Water Hoop. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Even when you feel low, you can still go. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Moments away, we will go to the Proclamation Hotline for Stephanie Rose. But first, Simple Grow, a simple product to help your plants grow better.
Are you worried about your plant growth? Provide your plants with what they need to grow to their potential with Simple Grow. Simple Grow offers 100% organic worm castings at SimpleGrow.com. Unlike other worm casting products, when you order from Simple Grow, you're getting 100% worm casting, not filler plus castings.
See, they don't play around. No. They give you the whole deal and nothing but the deal. 100% worm castings, that's it.
Yeah, you can promote ideal soil structure and aeration with Simple Grow all-natural odor-free worm castings. There's only one ingredient, worm castings. No chemicals or additives will seep into your food, and it doesn't smell like other fertilizers. For indoor and outdoor use, order by the bag, bundle, ton, or truckload. Check out what Simple Grow 100% worm castings can do for your plants and order today at SimpleGrow.com.
Well, Holly, let's go to the Proclamation Hotline, brought to you by Proclamation Goods, and bring in our guest for this week.
Stephanie Rose spends her time as a gardener, writer, and artist in Vancouver, BC, Canada, where she has turned her small urban yard into a garden therapy heaven. She's passionate about organic gardening, natural healing, and art as a part of life. Welcome to the program, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. Nice to talk to you today, Joey and Holly.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners across the United States. We thank you for that.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So I want to start with this question. What is garden therapy? I was mentioned in the intro there. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, back in 2006, all of a sudden, overnight, I don't know what happened. I got a headache, and I couldn't get out of bed for almost 2 years. It was something that came on really suddenly, and I was completely disabled. So I wasn't able to leave my home, and As I started to rest enough, started to gain a little bit more strength, started to heal, I decided, you know, I'm going to use my outdoor space as my rehabilitation program. So I didn't know how to garden. I grew up in the city, and I went outside and I just started scratching in the soil a little bit, went back to basics, learned how to plant seeds, grew herbs, made all my own food, and started just, you know, getting that experience of plants and gardening as therapy. It really helped me heal. I saw a really big transformation in my garden space and in my whole being, my body, my emotional state, even gardening is so great for your, to exercise your mind. So as you can imagine, I was kind of, feeling like I needed that exercise of getting out there and learning about the science of plants. So all of those things is what garden therapy means to me, because it's something that heals me from a very severe disability.
And I don't want this to sound like I'm making light of others who have conditions that they don't know if they'll come out of. But in that 2 years that you were stuck in your house, you didn't know if you were ever going to get out again. And when you was it almost like a second chance at life?
Oh, absolutely. I often say that gardening saved my life, and I don't mean that in a way that's exaggerated at all, because it didn't feel like I had much of a life when I was confined to bed.
Yeah, that definitely is very understandable. So one of your books is Garden Alchemy. What is Garden Alchemy? And tell us, more about what's in your book and how that can be helpful for gardeners.
Yeah, so when I was out there learning how to garden, I found that the information that we were given on how to garden, it was very much set for, I guess, based on agriculture practices. So based on, how farming was done. So taking that farming concept and bringing it to our home gardens. And I thought, this doesn't make a lot of sense to me. When I looked at how gardening was done in the forest or in a meadow, how Mother Nature gardens, how those ecosystems exist, I thought there has to be a better way. So I started, when I started gardening, and again, it was many years ago, I became a master gardener, and then I became a permaculture designer, and I started studying herbalism and plant medicine. So I took all of those concepts together. I had written a number of books, but I had my Garden Alchemy book that came out in 2020 was this combination of permaculture, herbalism, and organic gardening, and using plants as medicine to treat our garden. So it's like a recipe or a cookbook for your garden, where you open it up and it's got all these different recipes, from antifungal, like a chamomile antifungal spray for your seedlings, or soil mixes, all different potting mixes, how to make seed bombs, and even how to make, seed tape and things like that. But there's lots of recipes, like how to make a herbal smoothie for your garden so that it helps to feed it, all based on the principles of the herbal properties of the plants we already have growing around us.
And whenever you talk about the farming method not transitioning very well to the backyard, you're referring to traditional row and one crop per field. But in the permaculture realm, you're incorporating a lot of different variations of plants in one area to help each other grow better. Is that is that correct how I'm explaining that?
Absolutely. My book that came out in 2022, I guess this year, earlier this year, is called The Regenerative Garden, and it takes those permaculture concepts, which is not just about, how we do the monocropping, the even rows, and, planting only one kind of food source and leaving big spaces in between it. It's all about how we create an ecosystem in our yards that ends up supporting itself and being regenerative. So the idea is that it's less work for us. It takes less water, it uses less energy, it costs less in our, in our budget and in our time, because it follows the path of Mother Nature and how she's been doing it this whole time. So it gives us the opportunity to sort of look at how nature does it and build that ecosystem in our yards. So we still have, beautiful cultivated gardens that don't just look like wild spaces. We can bring in non-native plants. We can plant the vegetables that we want to eat, but it's using those concepts to really work with nature rather than, produce a farming method in our backyards.
In the process of writing these books, was there any aha moments, things that you were like, I thought I knew that, but clearly I was wrong? Or did you kind of really have a knowledge beforehand going into that?
Oh, I think everything was an aha moment for me. Every single time I planted another plant and it didn't do well when I expected it to, or it didn't follow what the textbook said, or the climate changed again, every single time I found that I learned something different and something new. You know, and that's the reality of living in the world that we're living in today, is that not only do we have, you know, very many changes on a global scale of what's happening with our climate and how plants are going to react to that, but in addition, we have microclimates that are in our own garden spaces. So we can't really depend on a 30-year weather average to figure out what it is that, you know, the understanding of what the climate's going to be, so we can garden and match that based on what a textbook says. We have to spend our time observing and experimenting in the garden and learning from the plants, listening to them, really creating that connection that allows us to learn from them, give them what they need, and you know, create almost a reciprocal relationship rather than a human input to grow plants than just to harvest. It's something that's more cyclical.
And that points to our garden, where it will frost in the fall. The neighbors' gardens and roofs will be covered with frost, but the way our backyard garden sets, it doesn't get hit for another couple of weeks. So it's very unique in how 12 feet here or 13 feet there or 20 feet makes a tremendous difference on if your tomatoes survive or not. And we have really very little control over that.
Absolutely. And that's how I start off the Garden Alchemy book, was to give the reader a little bit of an opportunity to start playing and practicing in their garden, to learn those observation experimentation skills, so that they can then learn about their unique microclimate. So in that first chapter, there's some soil testing that you can do at home with just ingredients from your kitchen, you know, nothing fancy. You don't need to send it off to the university extension to see if there's heavy metals in it. It's more just learning about your land and learning how to compost, learning how to add things back, how different kinds of mulch that you can use and where you would use them. All these things that will help you build the skills that you need for your unique landscape, rather than, you know, following that textbook. So it's a book that is more open-ended and allows you to play in your garden and learn from how the plants react.
That's fantastic. So we are talking with Stephanie Rose. She spends her time as a gardener, writer, author, and artist in Vancouver, Canada. So you like to do DIY garden crafts. So do we. What is a good kid-friendly one that you could recommend?
Oh, I love to do things with kids, especially because I have a child who's turning 9 very soon. And he started with me when I was gardening and writing my very first book. He was in the baby carrier on me while I was doing all the photos and gardening. So he's grown up in the garden and calls himself a master gardener. And, you know, some of the projects that he really, really enjoys are anything that is more immediate. So when we're planting things, especially at his younger age, when we're planting things, it's really wonderful to see them grow over the season and be able to harvest them. But the projects that I find really engage him is when we're doing the planting and the seed starting, you know, playing with the soil, making little newspaper seed pots. I've got some instructions on how to do that on the website, so I can give you guys the link so you can share it with readers. But making little newspaper seed pots, the children can start the seeds in them, and as they grow up, plant those in the garden. But then doing things like making painted garden markers so that there's a craft that goes along with it and it attaches to that seed when you can't really see it. When the plants grow up and you harvest them, I really like to do a scavenger hunt through the garden. So give a list of all the different senses. What can you see in the garden? What can you smell in the garden? What can you taste in the garden? And have them go around and experience all the different ways that the garden sort of feeds and engages with their senses. And those little scavenger hunts are really fun because, you know, you can do them for different seasons, or you can have them really open-ended and see what they find. It's a really fun experiment.
Sounds like it, and keeps them engaged and gets them to eat what's being grown.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, you enjoy making cold process soap in addition to the other things that you do in the garden with your books there. What is cold process soap? What is it? And would you encourage people to try it? Or is it one of these things that you need a lot of knowledge in order to make it happen?
I would absolutely encourage people to try making cold press soap. It is a really fun and artistic way of getting back to basics and sort of getting really back to that way that we used to make really simple household products that were full of great ingredients. The difference between a cold process soap and some of the soaps that we have available for us now is that you'll see those artisanal soaps at farmers markets and things like that that people make. Those are generally a cold process, a hot process, you know, a way of making a natural soap, which is a chemical process of converting salts and fats into lye, or sorry, with lye into soap, into something that we can wash with. And what we have now available is typically not listed as soap on the shelves. It's called something like a beauty bar or facial bar or a body wash, things like that. And those are full of detergents, which end up stripping our skin. Soaps are full of beautiful glycerin and natural fats and oils that can nourish our skin. And so, and we can also add wonderful plant elements in with them. So you can infuse the oil, say you're making an olive oil soap or coconut oil soap, you can infuse those oils with rose petals, calendula, lavender, and get all those wonderful aromas and properties from the plants that you're growing in your garden. So it is a little bit of a, I would say, an advanced technique, but I would not want anybody to shy away from doing it. I encourage people to find a local soap making class and take a class, and you'll get hooked. If you like crafty things, if you like making sourdough, if you like baking or cooking in your kitchen or doing, you know, creative projects at home, you're really going to love soap making as well, because you can just make the most beautiful creations with different scents and colors all naturally. So take a soap making class first, and then I've got a ton of recipes on my website. There's lots of recipes out there. The only thing with soap making is follow the recipe exactly, because any little change, like if we're making soup, we can substitute an ingredient, but if you're making soap, you don't want to do that. You want to keep the ratios exactly the same.
And if our listeners, if you've never used anything except for commercial grade bar soap from the store, you will never go back to it once you use a homemade soap or a soap that is a cold process soap. It changes your whole perspective on how to bathe and the way your skin feels after it.
You said it so perfectly, Joey. Like, it's amazing, because what happens with these detergents is that we're stripping things away. And so we're taking away from our skin. We may be, you know, washing off some of the dirt or the oils or things like that. But with a natural soap, we're replenishing our skin. So you need to wash less. You're actually nourishing the skin. So it's really, it makes a huge difference. And so even if you don't have the opportunity to go out and make that kind of soap, go and buy some, because there's lots of beautiful people who make gorgeous, gorgeous soaps out there. You can get them on Etsy. You can get them at farmers markets. You can get them from, you know, local farms. I really encourage you to give it a try if you haven't yet.
Well, Stephanie, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered us. How can people find out more about you? Where can they go and get your book and find out your recipes for soap?
I'm at gardentherapy.ca, because I'm in Canada, so I'm not a .com, a .ca. But you can always Google anything that Stephanie Rose, Garden Therapy, Stephanie Rose Garden, anything like that, and you should be able to find me pretty quickly. My website has links to all of my social media, so come and follow me there. I give lots and lots of stuff, lots of information out on social media. But I've also got a really great newsletter if people want to sign up for that. I send out what's in season every week. So all sorts of cool projects and ideas and gardening tips come out every week, and that's a completely free newsletter. So if people want to come and sign up, they just go to gardentherapy.ca, subscribe.
Well, thank you, Stephanie, for taking time and educating not only Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. We greatly appreciate the time.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
Well, thank you. And when we come back, it's your garden questions, our garden answers. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
It's a struggle to find fruit that isn't a disappointment or a waste of money, especially peaches at the grocery store. You bring them home, they turn mealy and gross. Well, Tree Riot Fruit Company has the answer. They deliver fruit straight from the farm obsessed with quality so you can actually experience the joy of a great tasting fruit. Love Georgia peaches? Tree Ripe delivers the best peaches you'll ever eat directly from the farm within days of being picked. Peach season starts June 15th and goes through August 4th. In July, they also deliver Michigan blueberries. You can find them at over 400 Peach Stops events throughout the Midwest or have fruit delivered directly to your home. All the event details and ordering information can be found at their website, tree-ripe.com. An extra bonus for you listeners, get 10% off your first purchase when you order online only, tree-ripe.com, by using coupon code HOLLY10, H-O-L-L-Y-1-0. A little bit of summer is what the whole year's all about. Barbecues, parties with friends, the fun is endless, unless the sun or thunderstorms have damaged your outdoor furniture. Keep it looking brand new with custom protective covers from coversandall.com. They have fabric choices for days that are 100% waterproof, coated to protect against sun, and can be custom designed for any size or shape, and placing or removing them. Easy peasy. Visit coversandall.com and use code GARDEN25 at checkout to save 25% on your purchase. Rootmaker starts your plants off right and keeps them going through harvest. From their seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots to their large variety of grow bags, 1 to 60 gallons, their products will provide you with the harvest that you've never seen before. Visit rootmaker.com and use coupon code RADIO22 to save 15% off your order. That's rootmaker.com.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
Thanks for listening to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. As you've heard through the program, many companies offering coupon codes to help you save on great products. If you've missed any of those coupon codes, you can go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and click on the money tab at the top of the page, and they're all listed for you. The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Tree Ripe, Covers and All, Ironwood Tool Company, Timber Pro Coatings, Blue Ribbon Organics, Natural Green Products, Algae Men, Dr. Zyme, Happy Leaf LED, Rescue, Big Tool Rat, Hot Bin Composting, Proclamation Goods. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. If you want to be part of question and answer, that's what time it is now. Your questions are answers. You can send that over to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or you can send us, you can give us a call on the Proclamation Hotline, brought to you by Proclamation Goods. That number, toll free, coast to coast, 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469.
Proclamation Goods creates cookware for the eco-conscious home chef. Their pans are non-toxic, have a lifetime warranty, and are made in Wisconsin. Their award-winning stainless steel Proclamation Duo cookware set is a 12-inch skillet and a stockpot that doubles as a wok. Best of all, the skillet and stockpot hinge together to form a Dutch oven. It's two pans with a versatility of 10, empowering you to cook more with less. If you care about your health and strive for a more sustainable lifestyle, then Proclamation Goods is for you. Supply is limited, so order is now at proclamationgoods.com.
All right, Holly, a number of questions came in this week. Let's see how many we can get through to the top of the hour. This one is sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com. I want to plant garlic for the first time this fall. I'm in Minnesota. Can I plant store-bought garlic?
Well, it's not recommended because store-bought garlic is coming from a myriad of places, whether it be growing in a hydroponic situation or even Asia sometimes. And a lot of times they are sprayed with growth inhibitors so that they do travel well, especially when they are coming across the globe. So they're not going to necessarily grow. If you wonder why store-bought garlic just never sprouts or takes a long, long time.
Or tastes terrible,
that's why. So you want to contact an organic garlic supplier, or you could buy from like a farmer's market or something.
Yeah, in the north here of the United States, hardneck garlic is preferred. It grows best from our experience. There are some people that grow softneck garlic, but hardneck is the preferred variety. And if you know the variety, whether it's Spanish Rojard, German Hardy, Purple Glazer, there's a bunch of them. If you know what they're supposed to do, it's a lot easier to grow. And side note, if you've never grown garlic before and you're buying it maybe for the first time from your farmer's market, whatever the recipe says, use a quarter of that. If the recipe says 4 cloves or 3 cloves, use one half.
Well, you would not necessarily use a quarter, but maybe use some and then.
Well, what I'm saying is, you will not believe the aroma or the potency. Yeah. Not in a bad way, but it's just very rich.
Right.
All right. Let's see what the next question here is. How often do I add worm castings? Every month? Every 2 months? Every week? What do I do?
Well, you just kind of want to add a small amount of worm castings to the top of the soil monthly throughout the growing season. Don't worry if you add a little extra. Unlike chemical fertilizers, worm castings won't harm your plants. So maybe just like a sprinkle or so to the top of your soil every month.
If you don't have enough, you can certainly get it from simplegrow.com. They have 100% worm castings, so that works out well. But yeah, you can't over. There are people that will actually start their seeds in 100% worm castings.
Right.
Because it's a safe medium to grow in.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. Nothing wrong with our next question here, Holly. I can't find a whole lot of information on growing rutabagas. Great information, that would be. I started some plants early in June, and I'm planting more this week. Everything I read says it's too late here in Wisconsin to grow them. Is this true? Do you have any experience with such?
You can do a fall planting of rutabagas. So you would start those. You would plant yours August 1st in southeast Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We're in zone 5, so you'd have to figure out kind of where what zone you are in. But yeah, that's no problem. It just comes down to your location. And then if it's cool enough, then you're good to go.
Rutabagas will take 60 days to reach mature. Or no, correction. Rutabagas, yeah, 60 days. No, turnip 60 days. Rutabagas 90. We start both of ours August 1st and harvest them accordingly, typically through into November on that. So we've never had success. One time in like 5 or 6 years, we've had success growing rutabagas in the spring. They were like softball size. They were beautiful.
Yeah, they were really nice. And actually, I thought we had a fall harvest, a really good fall
harvest. We had several good fall harvests, yeah. Because those days are getting shorter, nights are getting cooler, and those root crops thrive in that kind of condition. So there you go. Next question. Can you grow yakans from seed?
No. Well,
yakan is a?
Yakan is a root crop from South America, and it's it looks kind of like a pale sweet potato.
Right.
I guess like a gray sweet potato on the inside. It's whitish. And you want to start it from rhizomes.
Rhizomes, which you can purchase online or in the spring. You want to start them 90 days before you intend to put them out. You would put them out the same time as tomatoes. It's far too late now. If you're in the southern hemisphere and in a tropical area, you can plant them year-round. A typical plant will produce, we have averaged about 5.5 to 6.5 pounds. In more tropical areas, they will get 15 to 30 pounds per root zone, per plant. So rhizomes are the only way you can start those plants.
Right. And, that's correct. And you want to keep that in mind is that you want to plan ahead. And if you can find somebody who sells yakans, definitely. And you've never tried them. They're hard to find in the store. Sometimes you can, I think, find them frozen. But, yeah.
Okay, here's a canning question for you, Holly. How do I know if something can be safely water bath versus pressure canned? Is there a guideline to follow?
Yeah, so I would just recommend looking for the Ball Blue Book, and they update it periodically, and it will give you a nice chart in there as to what can be canned versus water bath versus pressure canning.
Now, there is in that method of there are certain things in which have to be pressure canned, but in the process of pickling them, you can water bath said product, like corn salsa, for example. You would have to pressure can actual corn, but if you make a pickle salsa, you wouldn't have to because of the acidity?
Sure. Yep. So, once you have an item that may have to typically be pressure canned on its own, then if you add an acid, whether it be vinegar, lemon juice, and then even things like sugar, salt, et cetera, like pickles have their cucumbers. You wouldn't pressure can cucumbers, but they are low acid food, but you're adding that vinegar and that salt to make it.
Dilly beans versus regular beans. One has to be one. The dilly beans can be water bath because of that vinegar acidity.
Right.
And the regular beans now, for some of you, may be still water bathing green beans. That should be or needs to be safely in order to consume them, need to be pressure canned. That has changed over the last 15, 20 years in that method of processing.
Absolutely. And so that's something to keep in mind is that you want to use up-to-date information and be safe about it.
And stores like Fleet Farm and other outdoor tractor supply stores, even big box stores, will have that literature, the Ball Blue Book, available and online stores as well. Well, we are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Did you miss any portion of the program today or would like to revisit it? Hey, you can do that by going to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and clicking on the Radio 6 tab at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will send you a link to the program. And you can check out past programs. Tune in next week to the program where we'll be talking about worms and worm castings, as well as the five most asked garden questions on social media. And our guest will be author Jenny Rose Carey, and we'll answer your garden questions. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.